For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Melissa O'Leary. Joining me today is Brian Bruce. He has a fascinating story. He fell victim to a pig butchering scheme. He recovered from that and has since joined forces to combat the fraud at the source in Southeast Asia with a global anti-scam organization, or GASO. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
So there's a lot to cover, and I thought let's just maybe start with the unfortunate events of how you got into, you know, what you're doing now with GASO. What I found interesting about your case was that this all occurred, or at least started, on LinkedIn, I believe. And I think a lot of people believe that they're safer on professional networks versus social networks. So just wondering, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, this has happened through random text messages, LinkedIn, dating websites. Mine specific was off LinkedIn. I get a number of requests every week on LinkedIn, either to be a mentor to somebody, to connect through business or through a partnership with maybe a supplier that's trying to sell something or certain goods or services. And so just another common day for me, somebody had reached out, actually connected, and the company that I was working with at the time, they knew about the company I was working with. They also even shared pictures of the company, the headquarters in Germany of where I was working at. So built just kind of a general working relationship, talked a little bit about business. You know, I've got a restaurant, I've got a couple side businesses. So nothing really new for people to reach out to me. But one thing I did notice is with a lot of victims, they'll kind of play that emotional part with them. Mine was a little different. It was really quick. It was over the course of 10, 11 days. Really focused on investment and business because that's where they knew that they could get me. They knew that I had a wife and two kids. So building that relationship just wasn't there in that sense, but it was really there around, wow, you're diversified investment. You've got a restaurant, you've got a 3PL business, you've got a consulting business, you actually work for a Fortune 500 company. So that's really where they played me at. What had happened specifically to me is, talked to them a little bit on LinkedIn, but then it went over to WhatsApp, and that's typically where they go with victims, WhatsApp, Telegram, Line. So they get them off these platforms and really get them in this chat. As I chatted with them, they started talking about their investments. As I'm a business guy, I'm interested in investments. And just like I invest in my 401k through Fidelity, you know, when I go to withdraw through Fidelity, when I retire, I hope I can make my withdrawal. The same thing like this. But I was never really familiar with crypto. My neighbor invests in it. So I started asking him questions. You know, does this look legitimate? And the fake website was zebpayex.vip. Well, there's a real crypto company called Zebpay out of India. And so he thought it looked real. Zebpay looks real. So started to invest in this platform. I sent my crypto to this wallet address, which I thought was my wallet address at this platform that I owned as I registered my account. Lo and behold, it was the scammer's wallet. And so when I sent my crypto to my, what I thought crypto wallet in my own account, that was their wallet. And that's where the transaction occurs, where they take the money and then they launder it out from there. So when I went to withdraw, what they try to do with victims is get them another one, two, three times. So they had mentioned I had to pay taxes, 33% of my investment. At that point is when things just didn't seem right. I kind of mentioned to them, I pay taxes to the U.S. government. I'm not going to pay my taxes to you. And that's where I knew something had happened. So after that, next 3 to 4 weeks, I really did investigations around this to figure out what had happened, how it happened, you know, and why it happened. And then personally, how am I going to go forward? After that month, got to set a plan in place that I'm going to do investigations around this and really solve this and figure out more. So joined Global Anti-Scam Organization in late October of 2021 and then became the Chief Operating Officer there in March of 2022, really heading our investigations team, in which we now do investigations around looking at these fake websites, looking at these scam compounds, looking at crypto wallet addresses and collection wallets and pivot wallets and how they move money out to money launderers and money mules and looking at their Telegram group chats. Just really following these criminals and finding out what and how they're operating And then also what we're doing is we're supporting victims of these. And that's kind of twofold when I talk about victims. There's victims up front that are human trafficked to these syndicates, in which we've helped them by reaching out to embassies, et cetera, to try to help any victims that are held hostage within these as they've been human trafficked. But more importantly, helping victims that have fallen victim to this pig butchering scam and really just trying to support them. And that's where we group cases together. I'd say a lot of places just look at a crypto wallet address, but we look at the fake websites, we look at IP addresses, and we've also been able to get geolocations of where these occur at. And that's how we're able to group victims together.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating that you're going to the source of the problem and looking for solutions. When you're looking at handing that information over to law enforcement, what's your success rate?
Let me maybe start with some history. So I'd say, you know, 2.5 years ago, I'd say a very, very, very low success rate, where now I'd say there's more awareness to this. Although success rate is low, I think there's more aptitude to support victims. And so I'm going to maybe quick talk about that 2.5 year journey. So we were at the forefront of this, and it really started, I'd say, mid-2021. Late 2021 is when we saw a lot of victims start to really peak. And at that time, think about law enforcement. They don't know about this. They aren't resourced about it. In their, whatever, let's say 100-year history, this was never on their agenda, never in their job title, never in their job scope. And so this was all foreign to them. Fast forward 2.5 years later, they're educated now on it. Maybe still not staffed on it, but they're educated on it. It's, I'd say, small portion of some of their agenda now. Not a large portion of their agenda, but a small portion. Where we run into trouble is this is international crime. All of this pig butchering is out of Southeast Asia. So we're talking countries like Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, all rooted back to China. And so that makes it even more complex and more difficult when we're talking this isn't on U.S. soil. Now, victims within the U.S. have significantly been scammed, but the culprits are out of these Southeast Asia countries rooting back to China. That makes it difficult.
Yeah.
I'd say the success rate with law enforcement, the local law enforcement, some are willing to help, but they don't know what they don't know. And so it's very foreign to them. FBI, unfortunately, pretty much non-existent. There's been a couple agents that have said that they're willing to help, but I haven't really seen action. I would say the United States Secret Service has made the most progress out of all groups. When you look at forfeitures and seizures, United States Secret Service has been at the forefront of local law enforcement, FBI, and that U.S. Secret Service group. They've been able to take more action than any group and probably have a better understanding than any of these.
Yeah, and probably a better legal framework and existing authority to do the seizures and things like that.
Well, and you're looking at civil versus criminal, right? And I think, yeah, they're more on that civil side of getting the funds, to your point. And I think the criminal side is where FBI is focused at. And that's a long haul. I mean, you know, we're 3 years into this.
Right. So a really big topic right now in this area is kind of the human trafficking that's happening in Southeast Asia and the victimization on the other side of this. What have you learned through the cases that you've worked?
I'm probably different than other people that others have talked to on this. So as we do something called scam baiting, and that's going out, and, you know, I got a random text message yesterday, for an example, and the random text message started out by, "Hello, Mike Gan. How's the weather lately?" So I knew right away, okay, let me go after this one. So we go and we scam bait that, or I know LinkedIn profiles. I can go out there right now and then within 10 minutes find 20 of them that are scammers. So trying to glean information off of them. I would say that route, when I do get them, maybe 2 out of 100 will say, "Look, yeah, I'm here, not at my own doing. I need help." The other 98, it's, "I'm here to make money. I want to be here. This is why I came here." And then 4-letter cuss words to me. And so that's 98%. The other thing is, when I was in Bangkok last year, I did go to the Taiwan embassy, and they specifically told me, we went to Miyawari KK Park, and we've got what we thought human traffic victims there. And we asked the hundreds, are you ready to come out? We're here to help you. And they're going to let you come out. And they told me none of them wanted to come out. They wanted to stay. So that's where I'm probably different than a lot of people that think this is all human trafficking. Everybody that there is human trafficked. It does happen to a degree, but my information is saying not to the degree that we think it is. But the human trafficking does happen. You know, I look at some of the job ads that they put out with companies like How Thai Company, and they've got 8 different job ads for whether you want to be an IT professional, you want to be a translator, you want to be a model, you want to be, all of these say that your job's in Thailand. Well, they're trafficking you over to Myanmar at that point. So the human trafficking side does happen. You know, I've been able to help rescue some of them through working with embassy or other ways and getting information out of these compounds from them. But the degree of what it is, personally, I don't think it's to the degree that it's been magnetized out there to the public for human trafficking. There's a lot of people that go there at will.
Yeah. What have you learned about the operating routines within the compounds? How sophisticated is it?
So we've actually got some of their scripts, and we've got some of their training material that we hold. And a lot of psychology goes behind this. It's almost like they hired psychologists to create this. And they've got scripts, you know, how to get victims. They've got group chats internally. And so when we look at this as an organization, let's say, and I go back to Miyawari KK Park, let's say they've got 100 companies operating in there. One company has, let's say, 40 scammers. They've got their own group chat. And they're talking to each other about how to go after a victim. And so when they get a victim, and most victims think that they're talking to the same person the whole time, they actually think it's that fake picture. But it's some young punk behind the scenes that they're talking to. And by the way, they're talking about 4 different ones, because it goes from the person that met you on one of these social media platforms to the person that starts to chat you on the WhatsApp Telegram line to the person that now is going to talk to you about investments. And they may bring another person in that's going to cut you for the money. And so you may be talking to 3 or 4 people, but that victim thinks they're talking to the same person. And these 3 or 4 people, they're collaborating internally. Okay, I think they're worth $650,000. How are we going to get this out of them? Say this to them. Talk this to them. And so it's really an organization all the way from that aspect, even their accounting records and their accounting books and how they move money. They open at a certain time, they close at a certain time, they keep wallets open for a certain time, you know, 2-3 months, they close wallets, they open new wallets. This is an organization.
Wow. That's fascinating. The sales piece sounds like a traditional car dealership situation, which is just fascinating to think about, because, you know, this has really just become professionalized to a level of they're staying ahead of any sort of enforcement from companies, from law enforcement. It's hard to say where it goes from here.
Well, and that goes back to, you know, we're 2.5 years behind. Well, they've evolved over this 2.5 years. Think about the amount of money that they've got and reinvested. And so now you're looking at artificial intelligence. You know, SIM swapping still very popular, but you're looking at new methods, new techniques now through artificial intelligence, through ChatGPT. You know, they're using new means now that we were 2.5 years behind, and now they've invested in new ways. But I mean, you look at some of their training material, and it explicitly says to the people that are there, do not become friends with the victim. Do not have any emotions for them. I mean, it's very explicit on what they're telling their people.
So as a final question, you know, to kind of come back around to the victims here in the United States, what is your advice to somebody that has that kind of, oh no, moment of, I've been conversing with these people for 12 days and I've sent $200,000. What should that person do?
The first thing is reach out to law enforcement. Don't go after any of these companies that say that they're recovery companies, because they can't recover your funds. And that's just almost another scam for these victims. And so there's a bunch of recovery companies out there that say, we'll recover your funds. First thing, reach out to law enforcement quick. This money moves within 24 to 72 hours. So the quicker you can get a hold of law enforcement that will act, the better. The more delayed time, the less chances you have. So that's the first thing I'd say is get a hold of your local law enforcement very, very, very quick to try to get funds frozen and to follow funds. You know, they can put notices on blockchain as funds move. And so that's what I'd tell victims. Time is of the essence.
Yep. And that's a lot of fortitude for somebody to put down the emotional aspect of this and think clearly. So I think it's important to get that word out there that you need to go to law enforcement. You need to go after the money and probably also get additional support. But there can only be one first step. So I think that's good advice.
And on that, I mean, I want people to understand that this can happen to doctors, bankers, lawyers. This can happen to anybody. People need to understand that. And also, I've had some international police give me a whole list of phone numbers that scammers were targeting. And myself and my team reached out to every one of them, letting them know, hey, you're being targeted. Hey, you're being targeted. Hey, don't do this. Hey, don't do this. This is what it's about. 9 months later, I had one of the victims come back to me and say, oh my gosh, I just lost $600,000 to this. I should have listened to you.
Wow.
So once again, this can happen to anyone. Just buyer beware, right? And pay attention and really watch where you invest. And I'm much more cautious around anything crypto related now. If it looks too good to be true, it probably is kind of thing also.
Well, thanks, Brian, for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Melissa O'Leary, Partner and Chief Strategy Officer at Fortalus Solutions. Joining me today was Brian Bruce from the Global Anti-Scam Organization. For more of our content, visit cybersecurityventures.com.